Let's go over to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And we're just going to read one verse there, but I want you to see this and just get it. And we just need to get this down in our spirit, because Romans 14 and 17 says this: "For the kingdom of God." Do you know that we're living in the kingdom of God now? If you're a born-again child of God, you're living in the kingdom of God. Okay? So here Paul writing, he says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." In other words, what he's telling us here, the kingdom of God is not in natural things. Amen. See, they're having these arguments about meat and, you know, meat that's been sacrificed to, you know, to false gods and all that stuff. And Paul said, you know what? As long as I bless it, it don't matter what it was designated before. I designate it to God and to me, and it's all right. There's a lot of folks, you know, out there, "Well, I wouldn't eat that, or I wouldn't eat this." Listen, when you bless it, did you hear me? When you bless it, it's blessed. Come on now. Now, Paul goes on and talks about some other things there about, you know, people that take offense. You know, he goes on and he says, if it bothers you to do it, then don't do it. You know, if you feel like it's a sin, then it probably is to you, because that's the way you feel. But he said it wouldn't be a sin to me, because I'm going to bless it and it's going to be okay. But he says the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink. But look at it. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, look at that. The kingdom of God is righteousness, right standing with God. Come on. If you know you're a born-again child of God, then you know you are in right standing with God. And so you can operate in the kingdom freely without any condemnation, knowing that God's got your back and the blessing of the Lord is upon you. See, you know if you're living right with God or not. Come on, you know if you're in right standing with God or not. And you know what? You're the only one that does know, besides God. God always knows. He sees everything, knows everything, okay? And you can come in, you can fool everybody, but you know where your heart's at. Come on, you know where you stand. So he says the kingdom of God, not meat and drink, but it's in righteousness, in right standing with God. Notice that it's in with peace. It's peace. Listen, church, we as children of God ought to live in peace continually. Come on, see, yeah, people have a hard time with that too. I do understand that things still go on. You know, Austin just recently lost his mother. And you know, I know how hard that is when I lost my mother. But you know, with me and with, I watched him, you know, and people thought, well, he ought to just be falling apart, you know. I mean, that's his mother. His father had died a few years back. But I watched him in the peace of God. In the peace of God, he knew she's gone on to be in heaven. And he had that peace that one of these days I'll get to see her again. You see, the kingdom of God is about living in peace, because Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." Not peace like the world gives, but my peace. Jesus, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what he faced, he's hanging on a cross. I mean, nailed to a cross. And he looks over the people that have nailed him to that cross, the people that have cried, "Crucify him." And he says, "Father, forgive them." You talk about having peace. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So the kingdom of God is right standing with God. Having the peace that goes beyond understanding. People just shake. They don't understand the peace that you have no matter what. You live in this life and you're in a fleshly body. You're going to have problems. Jesus said in this world you'll have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so I'm in right standing. I have peace with God. And he says it's also joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy. The church needs to get its joy back. Christians, most of the time you look at Christians and they look so sad. Come on now. They don't act. Brother Dan and I were talking about the fact, and I almost got you up, Brother Dan, to talk about tithes and offerings, because he was talking about Malachi, where, you know, it talks about, you know, pressed down and running over. And Malachi over there where it says, it's pour you out a blessing, there won't be room enough to receive. And we were talking about how when the blessing is upon you, it's getting on everybody around you. Come on. And so therefore we ought to be the most joyous people in the world, because I don't know about you, but I got the Holy Ghost in me. What about you? If you're a born again child of God, you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. He says the kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Ghost, not sadness in the Holy Ghost, not grumbling and complaining in the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Pastor Ed and I catch ourselves sometimes. Maybe we get in one. Anybody else besides us ever kind of get in that time where you're complaining about stuff? Maybe grumbling about something, you know. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will quicken us. I seen Dan shaking his head. No, you liar. I'm just kidding. No. You get those. Maybe you catch yourself grumbling about something. But you have to look around and see things. And see how blessed you really are. Come a long time ago, I heard this little saying, and it's so true. And what the saying said was this: I used to complain because I didn't have any shoes till I saw a man that didn't have any feet. Come on, think. I mean, you know, I start thinking about, you know, how blessed we are. You know, this time of year, of course, they're bombarding the TV with commercials and things. And but none of us that I know of have a child in the Shriners Hospital with cancer. None of us that I know of have one in one of those other hospitals to where the only time they get to see their kid is just there. We're blessed. We're blessed. So we ought to have the joy of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something. Just knowing that you're saved and on your way to heaven ought to be enough to make you, when you're coming in the door, shouting. Come on, most of the time we're just dragging ourselves in because we had to get up this morning. We act like it's a work day or something. You know, I understand you're not excited about work, but I don't understand you coming to church without being excited. Without wait, I can't wait to get to church to see what God's going to do. I'm going to go to church this morning expecting God to do something for me. Now, you can expect for you, but I'm going to expect for me. Now, as a pastor, I want to see it happen for all of you, but I still got to believe for me too. So, I mean, we this joy that God has given us, you know, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy has been placed on the inside of you. So joy in the Holy Ghost is part of the kingdom of God. You can have joy all the time. Amen. You can have joy in the morning. Anybody not a morning person in here? Hold up your hand, Pastor Ed. Okay. That's all. I understand that. Okay. Pastor Ed says in the morning we're going somewhere. I know it's going to be noon. I know that. I mean, that's it. It's settled. I already know that. So, you know, I'm getting up at whatever time she told me my internal clock was going to have to be fixed. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to get past 5 o'clock in the morning or so. You know, I mean, I've just done it so long. It's just hard, you know, and I'll lay there a while, but I just, you know, then things start going through my mind. Well, you got to do this, got to do that. And you know, Pastor Ed's just fine with just, you know, it's not that she sleeps very late, but she's a coffee drinker. How many coffee drinkers we got in? Now, how many of you actually drink coffee, and how many of you just sip on it? Y'all actually drink it? And you don't just drink it. Pastor Ed, she can just sit there and just, now, of course, her cup's that big. You know, so it does take a while. But she's one of those, I don't know how it gets, she's, you know, keeps it from getting cold. You know, before I can get my breakfast eaten, my coffee's already getting cold. You know, but she can just sit there and sip on that stuff, you know, and just, and you know, she's got peace. You know, I'm just kind of like, I got to get things done here. I mean, breakfast is just a formality before I get into doing other things. But you can have joy in the morning, even if you're not a morning person. For y'all that have to be to bed with the roosters, you can have joy if you sit up a little while at night. Just praise God at night. Just enjoy the night. Come on. You can have joy anytime because joy is on the inside of you. Joy is a choice. I can choose to be joyous. I can choose to be sad. I can choose to be grumpy. Never do. I'm not a grumpy person. Sometimes I can get a little, believe it or not, your pastor sometimes can be a little grumpy. You know, that's when I have to choose to have joy. Choose to change it, you know. Sometimes my wife looks at me and says, change it. You know, because it's been a little too long, whatever. But it's a choice. Joy is on the inside of us. And really, think about it now. If the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, anytime we're not operating in those three areas, we're not really operating in the kingdom of God. So if we're not operating in the kingdom of God, what kingdom are we operating in? So we have to start thinking about these things and understand that we want God in everything we do. We want Him in every facet of our life. So we have to make sure that we're staying there. And here's the thing about this, though, church. Our contentment and satisfaction here on this earth needs to come from God. Amen. It's not in natural things, he says. But it's in these things. It's in the kingdom of God. And so with that said, go with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, or actually I'm chapter 3. And here's what Paul wrote to the church there. He says, if you then be risen with Christ. Anybody been risen with Christ in here? Come on, I'm making you help me this morning. If you're a born again child of God, you've been risen with Christ. You're no longer dead. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of His dear Son. He says, if any then be risen with Christ, look, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek those things. That means you've got to look for them. Even when you're having a bad day, you've got to look for the good. Come on. Somebody cuts you off, makes you mad. Does that make anybody else mad besides me and Pastor Ed? The other day, Pastor, we had this parking spot that we was, you know, she always bleeds for the parking spots, and then she wants those. Somebody came and just cut right in front of us and grabbed that spot. She said, that was my spot. I bleed, you know. It's easy for you to get, you know, going down the road, you get aggravated, somebody will cut you off, whatever. See, when you're looking for the good, you say, well, maybe God slowed me down here, like she talked about earlier. Maybe God slowed me down here to keep me from running into something on down the road. See, if you're looking for it, you can find it. You know, if you want to complain, you can do that too. That's pretty easy. Right? So here he says, we know we need to seek after the things that are above. Verse 2, set your affection, that's your mind, that's your emotions, that on things above, not on the things of the earth. Notice that. Set your affection on the things that are above. It's real easy for us to get caught up in things of the earth. He goes on and says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. Just because we're setting our affections on things above does not mean that we can't enjoy the things on earth. It just means that they need to take a back seat to the things of God. It's fine to enjoy things on this earth, but we can't let that be where all our affection's at. That can't be the thing that we that's what we're after, the things of the earth. Because it's temporary, folks. It's temporary. Now, Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So when we start looking at these things, we got to understand the most important thing is to seek after God. And the things that we do, we need to make sure we're putting God first. He doesn't mind when we do the sports. He doesn't mind when we do other things. He doesn't mind if we're shopping or whatever it is that we do. But here's the thing. He does not want us to put those before Him. Yet thou shalt have no other gods before me. Come on now. You see? And so we have to, in this life, we have to make sure we're keeping Jesus in the center of everything we did. Now, with all that being said, we also have to remember that you only have one life to live. Okay? Now I'm going just a little direction, but a different direction, because I want you to understand that God wants you to live this life to the fullest. Amen. He wants you to enjoy this life. But see, here's the thing. You've got to have balance. Right? Jesus, remember what Jesus said? He says, I came, the Amplified Version says this, I came that they might have and enjoy life and have an abundance to the full till it overflows. But here's the thing. While we're living that life, we can't leave out God. He wants us to do it. You know, if you're living your life just to get money, then you're missing out on life. Because I'm going to tell you something. I know so many people that have money, but they don't really enjoy their life. They're so concerned about their money, making more money, or having money, that they can't enjoy themselves. I told Pastor up there, Pastor, I don't know if it was this morning, the other day, whenever we were talking, we were just having a conversation. I said, you know, it's kind of odd. You know, I know people that have money that like to fish, they like to hunt, they like to do things like that. But they have money and they don't like to let go of their money. So they won't fish, they won't hunt, they won't do any of the things that they enjoy in this life because they want the money more. And I said, here I am. You know, I want to do it all. I just don't have the money to do it all, but I do what I can with what I got, and I'm enjoying it. You know, one of these days, should Jesus tarry, and you're looking at me in a coffin, you can look there and say, he sure did enjoy his life. He fished when he wanted to, because he had a wife that let him. Some of your wives need to chill. Okay, let your husband go fishing and hunting. He needs it. Some of you husbands need to chill. Let your wife go shopping every now and then. She needs it. That money won't get you to heaven no way. Right? But I mean, there are people that they're living their lives. They live for work because they love money and they want to have money. Listen, I mean, you know, the last thing you want is on your tombstone to say, here lays a guy who had plenty of money. Hey, I mean, it's somebody else's money now. You cannot take it with you. You only live this life one time. So you have to take time to look around and get balance and look around and see. Look at your family. Look at your friends. Look at how blessed you are. I was thinking the other day about, you know, just being in the midst. Since I've been in the ministry, how God has blessed me to do that. I would have never done some of the things that I've done. I would have never got to go to a third world country. Wouldn't even thought about going to a third world country. You see, and sometimes maybe if we're not careful, we'll just live in this little box of where we're at right here without realizing there's a whole big world out there. Amen. You know, and when we start seeing things like that, we start saying, man, I'm really blessed. I'm really blessed. I and a guy went down to Green River Lake just fishing this Thursday and Friday. And we were down there and we were just talking about it. He's a Christian too. We were talking about what a blessing it is just to be able to do that. Having health to do that. Come on. Think about that. See, sometimes we don't think just having health to do something. What a blessing it is. And sometimes if we're not doing anything, not enjoying this life, we're missing out on the fact that God gave us this life so that we could enjoy it. Once again, we don't put it above God. We always put God first. We keep Jesus in the center. You see, that's the way it's supposed to be. Our life should revolve around Jesus, not just, we shouldn't just make time for Jesus when life allows us to. Come on, that includes our study and our prayer and the Word of God. Come on, I got one or two amens because I know what that's like. Netflix is not more important than studying and spending time with God. Now, there's some good shows on there. I'm not telling you I don't watch Netflix because I do. Matter of fact, I watched a pretty decent show the other day that I don't know. I can't remember the name of it. Anybody else maybe know the name of it? It's The Black Ladies That Took Care of the Mail back. It's based on a true story. Remember what's the name of it? You remember? The 6-8-8. Yeah. Very, very good movie. You know. Now, I don't remember if it had some language. I think it had a little bit, maybe, but, you know, just if it had any, it was just a little, but it was just, it's based on a true story of back World War II, right? How that, you know, the mail got all hung up. Nobody was hearing from anybody. And they brought those ladies in there. And because they were black, you know, everybody was against them. It was a racial thing. But they got the mail through eventually. And they ended up being, you know, they were really heroes. You know, good. I like hero movies. I like when, you know, the underdog always comes out. Don't you? Come on now. You see. But so I do watch some things. And I enjoy my life. Come on, I can't put that above study. I can't put that above prayer. But I can make time. You see, and that's the thing. You make time for Jesus first, and then whatever time you got. Because we're all the time, and you are too. We're all the time saying, well, I do that, but I just don't have time. Yes, you do. Some of you probably ought to look at your little screen and see just exactly how much time this week you've spent on that screen. Might surprise you how much time you had. Right? Come on, you see, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I mean, I know that keeps you busy, that occupies you, but that's not enjoying life. Yesterday was such an awesome, beautiful day. How many of you went outside and just took it in and just looked around and said, man, this is a beautiful day. I mean, look what God has made. A few, but for the most part, people stayed in. People did what they was doing. They was busy with life and not taking time to enjoy the life. We need to take time to enjoy it. We need to take time to enjoy one another. We don't take enough time doing that. Life is so brief. I mean, I look around and Pastor Ed and I are going, I can't say that on TV because it's a surprise. but we're going to be somewhere that's going to be a surprise. But I look at our life. You know, we were talking about, you know, can I say what you said this morning about yourself? Yeah. Remember what you said this morning when you looked in the mirror? I'm going to tell you what she said because it's a lie. Okay. It is. She looked in the mirror and she says, I dress like an old woman. I'm an old woman. I dress like an old woman. And I said, baby, go buy you some clothes that make you look like a 40-year-old. It don't matter because you're not old. Now, some of you might think we're old, but wait till you get to be 63 and you'll find out we're not old. Okay? You know, I remember a time when I was a young punk and I thought people were like me were old. You know, the only thing happens, though, when you get older, like we are, is you got to be careful because you're liable to say, well, I wish that old man would get out of the way. And it is possible that you are older than them. Yeah, you know, they just may be a slow driver. So it kind of comes to that point where you are the old people. And you know, and you see that. But we're going to enjoy ourselves as long as we live. We're going to have life. We're going to have it abundantly. We're going to enjoy it to the fullest, to the full, till it overflows like Jesus said we could. And that's what you have to do. But we're always going to make sure God comes first. And that's what you need to do. Listen, folks. It don't matter what somebody accomplishes in sports on this earth. I mean, you can look at it. Look at all, I mean, how many professionals in sports now, when you look, once they played out their little game, I know they might have made a lot of money, but where are they at now? Yeah, a lot of them messed up. Because they about killed themselves trying to make the money, trying to make it, and whatever, you know. And that moment of fame, and now, you know, they're crippled up and whatever. You know. I mean, where is John Wall? See, most of you don't even know who John Wall is, do you? Y'all don't remember John Wall of UK?
Yeah.
Few people do. He was a great player. I don't know where he's at now. You know about Shaq, because Shaq's a businessman. He made it into whatever, you know. Right? You know about some of them because they actually took their life and made something out of it rather than just somebody that throwed a ball in a hoop. Come on. What I'm trying to tell you is no matter what you accomplish on the earth, it fades and people forget you. One of these days, should Jesus tarry, People probably won't even know who started this church. And that's just fine. Because this church ain't about me, it's about Him. All I want it to know is that this church just keeps on going and going and going, and people have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost right on and on and on and on. Because I didn't build it. I physically did, but it wasn't me. God did it. This is God's house, and it was all His ideal. He just found a puppet that would say, okay, God, I'll do it. And He found some guys like Jerry Gullett there who was, you know, crazy enough to, let's do it. Remember, Jerry, when we walked in, we were talking about building the overhead here. Jerry, he said, what are we going to do today? I said, we're going to build a wall. Where at? I said, up there. Up there? How are we going to do that? And it came to me that night. I didn't know how we was going to do it, but when I woke up the next morning, I knew we could do it. That was God. I'm not a carpenter. I can carpenter, but I'm not a carpenter. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of, you know, my carpentry is almost like Austin's electricity work. I'm a little better. But what I'm saying is, you know, all through this, God has done these things. And so how can I not put Him in the center? How can I not be? Look what He's done in your life. Look at your kids. How blessed you are. Look at your life. How blessed you are. You got a roof over your head. You got food on your table. Your kids are healthy. Come on, somebody. Amen. You have to look and see. That's God. And so how in the world can we put anything in front of God? Let's not worry about accomplishments on the earth. Let's make sure that, listen, it's a failure to us if we allow our kids to be successful in school, in sports, or whatever they're in, and they don't stay in church. Don't get mad at me now, but it's a failure to us because the most important thing is that our kids stay in church. You know, we want them to go to college. We want them to get an education. If they want to go do sports in college and pro, that's fine. But I don't ever want them to lose their faith in God. I don't want them to ever forget where they came from. You know, you see all these stars, all these singers and these great, you know, they got great voices and they're making all kinds of money off their music, but they're playing in bars. And they're singing in bars, and they're singing about drinking, they're singing about swarping, they're singing about all that. You know, God isn't getting any glory. God gave them that voice to get glory out of it. He gave you your voice to get glory out of it. And some of you ought to be doing that. Don't look at me so funny. Hallelujah. See, it's the thing about just putting God first in this life. Because that's the most important thing. The biggest reason people don't volunteer in church, don't get involved more in their church, is time. I don't have time. Because it takes commitment. And people don't want to commit. Because if I do that, if I commit to that, then they're going to expect me to be there. And I might want to go do something. See, I know for a fact that there have been times that the praise team wanted to do things. Matter of fact, they'd tell me, you know, but Pastor, I mean, you know, we practice is Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Yeah, that's before the Wednesday night church service that they're here at 6 o'clock. Practice is 9:30 on Sunday morning. That's a long, some of you just getting up. See, that's commitment and time. But they're putting God first. They say, we want to put God first in our lives. We want to use the gifts and the talents that God gave us. Because He comes first and then everything else will come after that. I've watched these girls come and bring their kids. Sometimes it is a joke. Right, girls? Sometimes, I mean, it is a joke. They'll be trying to sing and they'll have a kid like this and them trying to hold their mics. And then sometimes, you know... Presley's getting better, but Presley's favorite thing is to run toward the stairs. So Rachel's trying to get to her before she gets to the, you know. And I've watched them all. I mean, I watched these kids come up. And these girls stayed faithful with their kids. Brought their kids here on their hips. Come on now. Some of them sat up here and sang practice and whatever with them on their laps. They didn't say, well, my child's acting up, not having a good day today, so I can't come. They came anyway. Because they wanted to put God first. And a lot of these volunteers, you think they would like to get to the restaurant? You think they would like to be down there going to beat everybody else to the Mexican place? But if you watch a lot of the volunteers, what you see is them first thing they do after service is over, run and grab a vacuum cleaner. And they're going to make sure this place is cleaned up for the next service before they leave here. See, that's putting God first. Now, it's not that they're not enjoying that. They enjoy doing that because they know God bless them for it. And see, that's what you have to understand about putting Jesus in the center of your life is that whatever you... Jesus said, whatever you do in secret will be revealed in the housetops. And so we got to realize that when we're putting God first, God says, they're putting me first. You remember even when the devil came after Job. You know, God said, if you considered my servant Job... Now, he wasn't saying I'm offering him up to you. What are you saying? Are you messing with my servant Job? But I got news for you, man. He escheweth evil. In other words, he hates evil. He's a good man, a righteous man, and he hates evil. And you know, the devil did all that to him, and then come back, and God said again, you've been messing with him again? Yeah, but you've got a hedge around him. If you take the hedge off from him, he'll curse you. God said, hey, he's been down there on your territory all along. And so the devil goes back and there's the bulls, there's all... His wife comes and says, why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, you're talking like a foolish woman. Through it all, Job remained faithful because he's putting God first in his life. And in the end, the Bible says that God gave Job double for what he went through. Why? Because God always rewards faithfulness. And part of our living our life here on this earth is for us to be faithful. Do you know that you were placed here to give Him glory? You were placed here to worship Him. You say, well, yeah, but now, you know, I'm getting older now. And I don't matter how old you are. If you can move, you can still worship God. If you can move, you can still do something in the house of God. Come on. You know, a lot of folks say, well, you know, I can't get into that cleaning there at the church. Do you clean your house? I could give you some scriptures where God says, you know, you lay back in your tiled houses and my house lies desolate. God notices it when we keep our place up better than His. So as we're living our life here, as we're going through this life, let's make sure that we're not forgetting that God's got to be first. I mean, we've got to enjoy it, but we just got to make sure that we're putting God first in it, right? I mean, that's the main thing that we can do. I'm going to give you one more scripture, and then I'm going to close this thing. I had more, but I've talked too much. Listen, look over here in Luke chapter 12 with me, and we'll close this thing out here just in a second. Luke chapter 12. Look in verse 15. It says, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not, notice that, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. You see, most people, that's how they gauge how good they're doing, by what they have, right? How big the house is, how nice the house is, how many cars we've got, how many boats, campers, trucks, four-wheelers, side-by-sides, right? Possessions. Here, mine's in red. Is yours in red? Jesus said that's not what your life consists of. Be careful about that, gauging your life by what you have. And it says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Wow. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This guy is probably set up for life. He's going to kick back now. I'm going to take it easy. Right? Let's read on just a little bit. But God said, unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The man set up. He's got it made. He's going to do all these things. He's got all the plans. But his plans did not include God. See that? He's got more than he needs. He's got plenty to lay up. And now here he is. And did you notice that he never thought at one time, "I might help somebody else. I might bless. I've got so much. I got more than I know what to do with." Now, you have to look and understand that apparently that the barns he had was already full. So he's already got plenty. All this other is overflow. See that? But never does he mention, I know what I'll do. Man, I'll be a blessing to my community. I'll be a blessing to the poor. I'll take money and give it to God. No. Matter of fact, what I'm going to do is tear down the barns I got, and I'm going to make bigger barns so that I can put more stuff in it and be even greedier than I am. And God called him a fool. Church, we got to realize God's things come first. And when God blesses you, realize you're blessed. And understand, if I'm blessed and I can bless somebody else, then I want to be a blessing. Right? That's what the running over is all about. Right? If you're full and you can't hold anymore, everything that runs over is for somebody else. You say, "Well, yeah, but that's mine too." Yeah, but you're already full. Come on. God's pouring it out. He's giving you a blessing. There's not room enough to receive so that you can be a blessing. You see? And so we ought to live life like that. We ought to see God is blessing. He's done all this. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm not God blessing me, so I'm going to live my life as a blessing. You never know how much you might change somebody's life by one act of kindness. It's sad that we live in a world today that's so full of hate, so full of differences, and so full of all this stuff that really the devil has used other people to manipulate, right? Come on, I mean, you know, if you listen to most of the media, you'll find out that they make it sound like we hate each other, right? Come on. Now, some of us were raised different. I was raised, and you were, a lot of you were too. We were raised, we weren't around black folk. And it was ignorance. They had no knowledge of, you know, they used black as a term to describe a lot of things. And they used the N-word a lot. We were raised, I understand that's a racial slur, but here's the thing, it wasn't used in a racial way. It really was. They just didn't. That was just how they described things because they had been taught that way. We've learned better, thank God. But the world will try to tell you that's just because you're a racist. That's just because you're me. You hate other people. If they're not like you, No. It was out of ignorance. And you know, I'll be honest with you. I mean, when I see people, I don't see color. I just see people. And I think most of the world just sees people. As we live our life, I want them to have as good a life as I'm having. Don't matter what their race is, no matter what the color, it doesn't matter because we're all God's children. God created us all. We all have one master, and we're all going to one heaven. So why don't we just get along and let's live this life together and enjoy this life and watch how God gets glory out of it. Don't play into the devil's tricks. You remember one of his tricks is to try to cause confusion. And God's not the author of confusion, but of peace and love, right? Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me? Let's pray. Father, I pray right now, Lord God.